Texaco Star Theater. More than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedians, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, and Portland Hoffa. Our guest, Mr. Franklin P. Adams, star of Information Please, the Martins and Al Goodman's Orchestra. It's Texaco time. Gentlemen, March may come in like a lion and March may go out like a lamb, but a certain radio comedian comes in like an actor and goes out like a ham. And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Wallington, thank you for that hammy introduction. You know, it's about time we had a ham on this program to go with those eggs you lay around here. And incidentally, these speckled ones you've been turning out lately are for great improvement. I'm putting them by for Easter. You are one announcer, James, who should live in a nest, really, from the work you're doing. But you are right, Jimmy, you are right. March certainly did come in like a lion. Snow, sleet, cold, ice.
This freezing weather's too much for me, Fred. I'm going back to sunny Hollywood.
Sunny Hollywood? Have you heard Bob Hope's program lately?
No.
I always tune in on Bob to get the weather report. Why, it's been raining in Hollywood for weeks, according to the first 4 minutes of Bob's program. You know, it rained... Well, his announcer was treading water last night. They went off the air with three gloves. I mean, it meant something, but I couldn't get it. You know, it's rained so much out in Hollywood, Jimmy. It's rained so much that Vine Street has grown 4 blocks longer. And Grapes of Wrath sprouted 2 more bunches at a matinee at the Pantages Saturday. Sunny California. They say Crosby's horses are running with pontoons on. I heard. Sunny California. Soggy California, you mean, James.
Well, I'm going someplace where it's hot. Where can I go?
You know where you can go.
No, where?
And while Mr. Wallington is working on the answer to the $64 question, we turn, you ought to get a comb. You can get better results with your scalp. The latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Hollywood, California. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences makes its annual awards for outstanding achievements in the cinema industry for 1940. Ginger Rogers, receiving award for her role in Kitty Foyle, said,
"This is the happiest moment of my life."
James Stewart, voted outstanding male star for his work in The Philadelphia Story, said,
"This is the happiest moment of my life."
Cecil Salvin, an extra who didn't win an award, but who found $4 on the floor when the banquet was over, said,
"This is the happiest moment of my life."
Thank you, Will. You want your fan mail to come care of the oxygen tent, or shall we leave it out? Texaco News, ignoring Academy selections, makes its own awards to little-known mugs who contributed practically nothing to the advancement of the motion picture industry during the past year. A Texaco award goes to the man who broke the Hollywood record for compiling a feature picture in record time during 1940, producer Farnstock Kress. What company are you with, Farnstock?
Whippet Productions.
The Whippet Productions?
Yeah, it's a quickie studio.
Oh.
Yeah, we make pictures so fast they lap over.
Really? They do?
Oh, yeah. If a director ain't off the set the minute his picture is finished, he's in the first reel of the next picture.
Well, tell me, Fonstock, what is the fastest picture you've ever made?
Souls Akimbo.
Souls Akimbo?
Yeah, a nine-reeler.
What, did you work it out in nine reels with a title like that? Well, how long did Souls Akimbo take?
Well, at 8 o'clock this morning, I'm pacing the bare rug in my office. The phone rings.
Yes?
It's some guy with a crockery store. He's stuck with a lot of dishes, so he needs a picture to get rid of them.
This was at 8 o'clock this morning?
Yeah. We was cast and in production at 9. The picture's finished and down in the tailor shop being cut before noon.
Really?
We preview it during lunch in the commissary.
And?
At 2 o'clock this afternoon, 800 people in that guy's crockery store was hissing another Whippet production.
Well, that is some speed. Is the picture finished? I mean, is it all through now?
Oh, no. It opens again tomorrow as a revival.
Well, I'm sure the critics will give it 4 shooting stars. And thank you, Fonstock Kress. A Texaco award for all-around incompetence goes to Murdoch Nub. You weren't cited by the Academy, were you, Murdoch?
The Academy? I'm laughing.
You don't agree with the Academy selections?
Who is this Prentice Sturgeon they're raving about?
Preston Sturges? Why, he's the famous author, director, producer at Paramount.
All right, so does that compare him with me? I'm Murdoch Nub, don't forget.
Well, you...
I, Murdoch Nub, was the first combination actor, author, producer, director, yes man, stool pigeon, and errand boy in Hollywood.
You were all of these things?
I alone.
Well, I've never
seen... Who wrote the novel Up Satan's Alley? I alone.
Well, I don't...
Who wrote the screen adaptation of the novel? I alone.
Well, I didn't...
Who produced the picture? I alone.
Well, I know,
who
but...
directed the picture? I alone.
Well, I never...
Who acted both leading parts?
Well,
I alone. After 7 years in production, when the picture come out, who went to see Up Satan's Alley?
You mean?
I alone.
Well, that's fame, isn't it?
And they're raving about this Prentice Sturgeon. What about Murdoch Nub?
Well, who ever heard of Murdoch Nub?
I alone.
That completes your cycle, and thank you, actor, author, producer, and pest, Murdoch Nub. A Texaco award for the most embarrassing moment on a picture set goes to Miss Fodie LaFontaine. You remember her from some of her recent pictures, I'm sure. You work in pictures, do you, Fodie?
Only in Technicolor.
Oh, you only work in Technicolor. Well, what is it you do in Technicolor, Fodie?
I used to be an emergency blusher.
An emergency blusher?
Yeah, in Technicolor, when a girl blushes, the blush is supposed to show in the picture.
Oh, I see.
But in Hollywood, most actresses is either world-wise or anemic. They can't blush.
That's where you come in.
Yeah, if the director wants a blush and the family can't blush, I jump in and blush for her.
For the family. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, how do you manage to blush by appointment? I mean, how do you blush at will, Fodie?
By manipulating me veins.
Veins, huh?
Yeah, I wear loose foundation garments and I manipulate me veins.
Well, what caused your award-winning embarrassing moment?
A sarong was my undoing.
A sarong?
Yeah, it's for a big jungle picture, The Road to Hepzibah.
Oh, that's the only road Paramount hasn't used up to now, isn't it? I'm glad to hear that's open.
Well, the director wants a rush blush, but I gotta wear a sarong.
What happened?
Well, I put on the sarong. I take a gander at myself in the dressing room. I start to blush.
Yeah?
I'm blushing all the way across the lot.
Oh, you poor thing.
I get on a set. I'm still blushing.
Yes?
The camera starts grinding. The director yells, blush. I manipulate me veins. I'm a dud.
You mean?
I'm all blushed out. Me veins won't manipulate.
Your movie career is ended?
Yeah. I took 2 transfusions and tried to get back in, but you know Hollywood.
Oh, I know Hollywood, yes. Well, what are you doing today, Fodie?
I'm doing my specialty in a movie theater on 7th Avenue.
At the Roxy?
Yeah, I'm a Roxy blusher.
Well, congratulations on your marvelous comeback and your weak finish. And thank you, Fodie LaFontaine. You should have manipulated your veins there to get off. Cody LaFontaine, the movie fan who got into the most trouble through being loyal to his screen idol during the past year, was Barclay Dell. Who is your favorite movie star, Barclay?
Bela Lugosi.
Really?
I ain't missed a Bela Lugosi picture for 10 years.
You admire Mr. Lugosi's acting so greatly?
Oh, it ain't his acting.
Well, then what has made you such an ardent Lugosi fan, Barclay?
Well, I'll tell you. You see, I got a big wart on me, Adam's apple.
Oh, a wart?
Yeah, it's right here under me collar button.
Yeah?
And when I put on me collar, the collar button presses against the wart. The wart presses against me Adam's apple. It's agony.
Well, what's that got to do with Bela Lugosi?
The only pleasure I had for 10 years I owe to Bela Lugosi.
How do you mean?
Well, when I go into the theater, my collar button is always pressing against the wart.
Yeah.
The wart is pressing against my Adam's apple.
Yeah.
I'm in agony.
Yeah.
Then, Bela Lugosi comes on the screen.
Yes.
My flesh starts to creep.
Yes.
The wart creeps up over my collar. Boy, I can't explain the feeling. It's eutropia.
And oysters must be good this month with an R in eutropia. Well, when the picture is over, Barclay...
The wart creeps back down, the collar button starts pressing, and I'm in agony again.
Until the next Bela Lugosi picture comes out.
Well, they can't make them too fast for me. Boy, I'm sure gonna miss old Bela.
Miss him? Why, he's still making pictures.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna see him.
Why not?
Well, yesterday, I hear that a new Bela Lugosi picture is opening over on 8th Avenue.
Uh-huh.
It's called Mayhem in Paradise.
Oh, yes.
So I figure I'll go over and get my wart out from under for a couple of hours.
And, you and the wart went over to the theater?
Yeah. There's a big line around the block. I get in the line. The wart is killing me.
The line kept moving up?
Yeah, finally I'm pushed up a flight of stairs. That's all, brother.
The line didn't lead into the theater?
It went into a recruiting office.
And instead of seeing Bela Lugosi...
I'm seeing Fort Dix in the morning.
Congratulations. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn from the Academy Awards to our choice for a vocal award, and our candidate, as always, is Kenny Baker. And Kenny sings for us tonight on Wings of Song.
My love, we will go to a home I have made thee, where Ganges waters flow. A garden is brightly shining beneath the moon so clear. The lotus flowers are pining to see their sister dear. The lotus flowers are pining to see their sister dear. Palm we'll rest, free from the world we will seem, rejoicing that fate has blessed us with such a lovely dream, with such a lovely dream.
Penny embraces the maestro and leaves our stage, and we turn at this point...
Pardon me. Can you take me next?
Take you, friend?
Yeah. I want a flannel housecoat size 18, cerise, with puffed shoulders.
A flannel... A flannel housecoat?
Yeah, ain't this the program where they give you anything you want to make your dream come true?
Well, no. No, if you're asleep, you better wake up, bud. You're on the wrong show.
Gee, am I a dud?
Well, you certainly look like one in a flannel housecoat size 18.
I didn't want it for me.
Oh, not for you.
No, it's for my wife, Gertie.
Gert?
Yeah. You see, every morning when I start off to work, Gertie comes out on the front porch in a wrapper to wave goodbye.
Yes?
By the time I get the car started these cold mornings, Gertie's just a mess of goose pimples. So I want a flannel housecoat size 18.
Well, friend, now let me if I can just get a word in. I'll say a sharp word and get it in edgewise, if you don't mind. Now, look, you don't need a flannel housecoat for your wife, Bud. You need fire chief for your car. You see, then you'll get quick starts, and Gert won't get those goose pimples. Now, for further details, is one of your ears any good? The left one, would you lend that good ear to Jimmy Wallington here, just for a second, if you would?
If there's one time when duds, those useless slow-action elements in gasoline, show their true colors... It's when you want a quick start on a cold day. For those deadly duds fail to vaporize in the carburetor. Hold back the power of those few ounces of chilled gasoline that have a big enough job to do without having duds make it harder. The result, you don't start fast, your battery suffers, and you waste fuel. But remember, there are no duds in Fire Chief. In Fire Chief, you're getting only the fast-action elements that vaporize instantly, give flashing starts, quick pickups. So next time... Try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief. There's not a dud in a tank full.
Just consummated the barcarolle from the Tales of Hoffman. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise.
Mr. Allen!
No, not now, Portland. We, We have a very important guest tonight, and I want you and Kenny and Mr. Goodman, I want all of you to be on your toes.
Oh, I'll tell them! Kenny! Mr. Goodman!
Yes, Forty?
Goodman is present.
Now, listen, all three of you. Our guest tonight is an intellectual, a grammar perfectionist, and a fanatic on pronunciation. Now, I want you all to be very careful. If I happen to introduce you, no faux pas.
Faux pas? This is English?
I mean no grammatical indiscretions, maestro. Watch your diction.
Who is this guy, Mr. Allen?
He's FPA.
FPA? That's a project, ain't it?
FHA is a project. FPA is with John Edgar Hoover, ain't he?
That's FBI, Mr. Goodman, ain't it?
Now, wait a minute. Stop saying ain't. Don't say ain't above all things. They say that a rumor is rife, it is bruited about, that when FPA hears people say ain't, he swoons.
But who is FPA, F.A.?
He's Mr. Franklin P. Adams, the celebrated newspaper columnist, wit, the author of many books, and to radio listeners, he's perhaps best known as the man who plays right field on Information Please.
This is only one man?
Yes, this is only one man. Now, break it up, and don't forget, when you meet Mr. Adams, put on the dog grammatically. We want to make a good impression tonight.
And no ain'ts.
No ain'ts above all other things. Now, beat it, everybody. I'm going to introduce Mr. Adams. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present to you Mr. Franklin P. Adams.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Franklin P. Adams.
Good evening, Mr. Fred P. Allen.
It is indeed stimulating to hail a fellow so well met as you, Mr. Franklin P. Adams.
It is equally stimulating to hail... Say, do we have to be this formal?
Well, no. Not necessarily. We were afraid that you might be a stuffed shirt, and we just wanted you to feel at home.
Confidentially, I ain't a stuffed shirt, Mr. Allen.
You're not?
No, I ain't.
Something is wrong here someplace. Two ain'ts, one after another. We've got the wrong Adams here. You're not the gum man by any chance. Are you sure you're the Mr. Adams?
You ain't kidding, brother.
Well, it certainly is nice of you to take a sabbatical from Information, Please, Mr. Adams, and embark on this mental slumming tour tonight. My little company here must impress you as being mentally unkempt and teetering on the subnormal, I imagine.
Oh, I don't know. That fellow Goodman looks like an intellectual type.
Well, we don't keep him on a leash, I mean, if that's what you mean. Say, you haven't met our little group, have you?
Don't bother, Fred. I know quite a few people. I don't want to overdo it.
What's the difference? So you'll sink a little lower socially.
You mean I ain't touched bottom?
Not yet, but I'm afraid you will before this night's work is done. Now, folks, come over here a minute. Portland, this is Mr. Adams.
Glad to know you, Mr. Adams.
Thank you, Portland. That's the first kind word I've heard tonight.
Denny, this is Mr. Adams.
How smart are you, Mr. Adams?
Two and two is four.
That's good enough for me. He's a whiz, F.A.
Well, I know. That's only one man's opinion. And Mr. Adams, this is Mr. Goodman.
A pleasure, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you. What is Shakespeare doing these days?
He's still with the same people.
He's got no ambition. I thought Shakespeare was going places.
Maestro.
You are saying talk intelligent.
I know, but you're overdoing it. Overdoing it? You're in another generation already and don't even know it. Not only that, but you're going backwards. Well, now that you know our gang, Mr. Adams, let's get on with our interview. Now, let me see. What can we talk about?
I don't know. How about just ad-libbing? Will we hit something good?
Well, that's a little risky, isn't it?
Not for me.
Well, of course, it's easy for you guys on Information, Please. You get out of a conversational hole with a quotation from Shelley or an old armadillo call or something. But on a program like this, we have to have scripts.
You mean otherwise people wouldn't think radio comedians could read?
In a certain case on the West Coast, that is the purpose, yes.
If you don't mind, Fred.
If you can. I've got another line if you don't mind.
Where is it?
At the bottom of 18 here. You can use...
Oh, yes, I get that.
You can use a script tonight, can't you?
If you don't mind, Fred, I prefer to be unrehearsed and... spontaneous.
The unrehearsed I was sure of there for a minute. But you want to be unrehearsed and spontaneous.
It says so here.
Well, all right. Now, this was all sworn to by with the notary before we started. I mean,
his commission expired.
You mean after your introduction? Well, now about our interview. What is your story, Mr. Adams?
Well, I was born.
Yes.
And I lived.
Yes.
And here I am.
Well, I know, but what happened in between?
Everything went black.
Well, for a man who has been working in the dark for so many years, you certainly have accomplished a great many things.
I'd rather not talk about myself, Fred.
You mean you'd rather not mention that you write a column on the Brooklyn Eagle?
The New York Post, it is.
Well, wouldn't you like to say you've been writing a daily column since 1904?
1903.
Well, don't you want it known that you are a celebrated writer of lyric poetry?
Just light verse.
But years ago, you did write a musical comedy with Sam Boswell, didn't you?
Yes, but that was O. Henry.
Oh. That was also not Sam Boswell, either. But look, Mr. Adams, won't you please admit that you're on the air every Friday with that popular radio show?
You mean at 8:30?
Yes, the National Bond Dance.
That's information, please.
Well, now look, if I'm getting everything wrong, why don't you just tell your own story your own way?
I'd rather not talk about myself, Fred.
Well, there must be something you'll talk about.
Yes, there is, Fred. I've got a pair of pet peeves, and I've written about them for years.
Well, what are they?
Well, I've agitated against double parking in New York streets.
And as a result of your long crusade?
Today we have triple parking.
Congratulations. And your other peeve?
I've been campaigning for visible numbering on houses and buildings in New York.
And?
Today you can't find the numbers, and half of the houses are gone.
Well, so much for your dynamic crusading. Now about information, please. How did you amass the vast knowledge you dispense on your program? In other words, Mr. Adams, how did you become so smart?
I started as a moron and worked my way up.
Well, with your strenuous routine, what do you do for relaxation?
I play tennis.
Oh, do you play an exciting game of tennis?
Oh, I've been playing tennis for 40 years, and I've never beaten a healthy man yet.
Well, confidentially, Mr. Adams, do you imbibe?
Is that an invitation?
No.
Then what point is there in answering?
You've got something there.
Yes. And it isn't an invitation.
Well, now that you've sampled our hospitality, Mr. Adams, I'll tell you, frankly, I'm going to tell you why I asked you over here tonight.
You didn't ask me just for myself?
Oh, no, no, no. I had an ulterior motive. You have a column in the New York Post.
Yes, sir.
And in this column, you frequently run poems sent in by contributors.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have written a tone poem.
You haven't the poem with you, I hope.
Fortunately, I have. Now, would you like to have me read it for you?
No, but something tells me that isn't going to stop you.
That is correct. Absolutely correct. Oh,
All right, if I'm in for it, this poem is called?
Tone poem is called Tone.
Read on.
Tone. The sweetest tone of all the tones is not the tone of the slide trombone, nor the saxophone or the bagpipe's drone. The sweetest tone of all the tones is the moan of the hormone when the hormone moans. When the hormone moans in any key, I am transported with ecstasy, for the hormone moans in hormone E. unquote.
Is that the end?
Yes.
It's hard to tell with a poem like that.
Yes, it is. I made it that way to fit your column. You can break it off any place and no one will know the difference.
Well,
what do you say, Mr. Adams? Would you run my poem?
I'll run it on one condition, Fred.
And that is?
I've got to have a 10-yard head start and I ain't kidding.
Oh, you ain't. Well, you wait till I get on information, please, again.
I can wait.
Good night. Good night, and thank you for this pleasant visit, Mr. Franklin P.S. Thank you. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, the Martins tear themselves away from the bosom of their fan club, the community bosom, just long enough to sing for us, Young Man with the Horn.
Young man, if you keep playing this way, you'll blow your brave world to bits of glass. Change your horn to a thing of twisted brass.
Young man, you should have cracked from the strain.
There comes a time when just an empty sack can be the straw that breaks your back. Lord only knows just why he was born. No time to learn how to read or write. He sleeps all day, but he plays all night. He's that young man, blowing his horn. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Da, da, da. He's that young man with the horn. Do, 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 do. When he's sending, he goes for notes that horns will never play, but still he keeps on sending out of the world and far away. So if you hear a tune being torn, just like a life that's been ripped apart, from way down deep in his soul and heart, it's that young man.
Mexico Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I'd like to remind you that all programs aired on same time, same station come directly from our CD masters. They are all available on CD or cassette. For more details on how to purchase these cassettes or CDs, you may call area code 562-696-4387.
That was Don't the Moon Look Pretty, played by Al Goodman, who hasn't seen it for 15 years. And now, Portland.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Say, will you tell Kenny that it's almost time?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 1,200 Texaco dealers from the Southern Territory are assembled in convention at the George Washington Hotel in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, in exactly 3 minutes, they will interrupt their convention to tune in on the Texaco Star Theater to hear a word of greeting from the youngest member of our organization, Master Kenneth Baker.
And for this auspicious occasion, I, Goodman, have written also a theme song.
Good.
A theme song for Texaco, Mr. Goodman? What is it called?
I'll take you home a can gasoline.
Well, that's very good. The lyric lilt. I see its possibilities, Maestro. We'll get around to that a little later. You know, it's almost time for Kenny to greet the convention.
Oh, here comes Kenny, Mr. Allen.
Friends, Romans, and Texaco dealers, lend me your gears.
Say, Kenny, hurry up with your voice limbering. That Jacksonville will be ready in just a minute.
I'm just running over my speech, F.A.
But, Kenny, there isn't time for a speech. We just want a few words of greeting.
Please, F.A., I've got to concentrate. You have your cue, Mr. Goodman?
What cue?
When Kenny is saying north-south, I, Goodman, am playing Dixie.
What Dixie?
At the end of my speech, I give Mr. Goodman a cue. When I say greetings from us in the north to you in the south, Goodman...
Quiet! Who started that?
I, Goodman.
Not yet, Mr. Goodman.
But you are saying south, Goodman's cue.
Well, never mind. Forget about Dixie, Maestro. Now, Kenny, you stand by. We're almost ready.
Okay. F.A. Stand by, Mr. Beamish.
Who is Mr. Beamish?
He's going to help me with my funny story.
Oh, are you going to tell a funny story?
Oh, I got a Lulu. It's about Pat and Mike in the desert.
What has Mr. Beamish, what has he got to do with it?
Mr. Beamish is going to remind me.
Remind you? Don't you know the story?
Sure, but no speaker just tells a funny story. Something has to remind him. Then the speaker says, that reminds me of a funny story.
Oh, Mr. Beamish is going to do something.
Oh, yes, so I'll be able to say, that reminds me of a funny story.
Well, can't you just say, that reminds me of a funny story without Mr. Beamish?
I'm no liar, F.A.
All right. When does Beamish come in?
When I give him a cue.
What cue?
When I say, Texaco dealers, Mr. Beamish is...
Water! I must have water! Water!
What was that?
That was Mr. Beamish. He was reminding me. He thought it was his cue.
Now, wait a minute. Yelling water, water, that reminds you of a funny story?
Yes. Water reminds me of Pat and Mike in the desert.
All right. Something tells me anything can happen, and it probably will in installments. Now, look, you stay here. I'll see if the Texaco convention is ready in Jacksonville.
You'd better rehearse your first line, Kenny.
That's a good idea, Porty. Friends, Romans, and Texaco dealers, I adventure...
Water! I must have water! Water! Ah!
Will you keep that Beamish out of here?
I'm sorry, F.A. I accidentally gave Mr. Beamish his cue again.
Well, don't make another mistake and give Goodman his cue.
Well, I'll be careful. Mr. Goodman's cue is north and south.
Quiet! Mr. Goodman, please.
I am hearing south, Goodman's cue.
They're waving from the control room, Mr. Allen.
That's all they ever do from the control room. Wave back at them.
All right. Yahoo!
Fine. Now the control room is throwing kisses.
Go ahead, Mr. Allen. Jacksonville is ready.
Quiet! We're on the air! All right, Kenny, let's have it.
Don't forget my demonstration, Porty.
Oh, I'm ready.
Quiet, please, now. To the Texaco Convention in Jacksonville, Florida, we here in the Texaco Star Theater send you a message. Our speaker is the youngest member of our organization, Kenny Baker.
Yippee!
Thank you. Greetings, and...
Wait a minute.
That's enough. That's plenty, Portland. After all, Kenny isn't speaking on the lease land bill, you know.
Thank you, folks, for your riotous reception. On behalf of the Texaco Star Theater, I greet the Jacksonville Convention of Texaco Dealers. Texaco Dealers. Where's Mr. Beamish?
Never mind, Beamish. Go into your funny story.
But that's Mr. Beamish's cue. He's got to remind me.
Kenny, all of our dealers are waiting down there in Florida. They're going to be hopping mad.
Yes, Kenny. You're liable to start trouble between the north and south.
Put that stick down, Maestro.
But again, I'm hearing south. Goodman's cue.
That was a mistake. Now, go ahead, Kenny.
But I can't tell my funny story until Mr. Beamish reminds me.
Well, Beamish isn't here. We'll get something else to remind you. Say, sound man.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Look, on the cue, Jacksonville Convention. Now, let's have the siren and bell. You know, like the program opens.
Yeah, okay.
But how will that remind me, F.A.?
It's simple, Kenny. The siren and bell will remind you of fire chief. Fire chief will remind you of fire. Fire will remind you of water.
I get it. And water will remind me of Pat and Mike in the desert.
Yes, he'll remind you the hard way. And now, at long last, members of the convention, I give you Kenny Baker.
Yippee! Yay!
Oh, brother, when I go through.
Thank you. On behalf of the Texaco Star Theater, I greet the Jacksonville Convention.
Go ahead, Kenny. That reminds you.
Okay. Well, that reminds me of a funny story. You Texaco dealers...
Water! Water! Sorry I was late, Baker. Water! Water!
Again with the Beamish. Go ahead, Kenny.
I can't, F.A.
Look, for heaven's sake, you've been reminded twice.
You overdid it, F.A. Now I've forgotten the story.
Oh.
It's about Pat and that other man in the desert, Kenny.
Oh, Pat and Mike, that's right.
Never mind the screen credits. Get on with the story.
Pat and Mike were in the desert.
Yes.
They were dying of thirst.
Uh-huh.
They only had one orange between them.
Yes.
Just one little tambourine.
That's tangerine. Tangerine.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
I just remembered. The Texaco Convention's in Florida.
So?
This is a California orange.
Well, what's the difference, Kenny? We only have 30 seconds before Jacksonville tunes us out. Now, please...
But
please,
a California orange, F.A.
Make it make it a Florida orange. The Jacksonville Convention... No, 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 sound man.
You shouldn't have said convention, F.A. The Texaco dealers are...
Water, water, water!
Kenny, for Pete's sake... Never mind. Quiet! 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 Quiet!
Pat and Mike, we're in the desert.
Kenny, don't bother with your story. The convention has probably started north in a body looking for all of us by now. There's only one way you can redeem yourself. Now, you'd better sing your song. What is it?
I Hear a Rhapsody.
I Hear a Rhapsody, Mr. Goodman, and it shouldn't sound like Dixie. To talk about, well, what are you going to talk about tonight, Larry?
Oh, about 9/16 of a second, Fred.
9/16 of a second?
Mm-hmm.
Why, that will be about the shortest commercial on record. Pardon me, I've got to call up Ripley.
Oh, no, it's not a commercial, Fred.
No?
9/16 of a second is the average reaction time for an automobile driver.
Reaction time? What's that?
Well, that's the time it takes your foot to begin moving when you decide to press the brake or the gas. Scientific tests have proven that the time varies with different drivers, from 1/8 of a second up to 1 full second, with the average 9/16.
9/16 of a second? Say, that's faster than the Warner Brothers can say Edward G. Robinson.
Yes, and it goes to show how many of your actions in driving a car are instinctive, done in a flash, without time to think. And when your car responds to those instant demands with quick, flexible power, then you're enjoying driving at its best. Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline, gives you that kind of driving enjoyment consistently. You can be idling along with the sound of your motor scarcely a whisper, but you know that there under your foot is any sudden burst of speed you may need to pass a car or climb a hill. And with a clear road ahead, let her zoom and fly the highway with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's luxury gasoline for those who want the best.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight, they salute the kiddies of America and present the story of Little Red Riding Hood from the fairy tale of the same name. Music, Professor. Once upon a time, kiddies, they lived in a certain village, a little country girl. Everybody called her Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, oh, oh.
Little Red Riding Hood was known...
Red Riding Hood, baloney!
Quiet, please. Pipe down.
Pipe down yourself, picklepuss.
excuse me, folks. There's a boy who... Obviously, some brine fanciers here. There's a fresh kid in the front row. Fresh boy here. Come up on the stage, you son.
Okay, I'll come up, jerk.
A high school boy, I see. Now, listen, you digest Dracula. What's the big idea, heckling me as I'm starting this fairy tale here?
Oh, who wants to hear fairy stories?
Why, Little Red Riding Hood has been charming kiddies for generations.
Yeah, well, she's past 8 today. Mother Goose is washed up, too.
Really?
Kids today are hip, chum.
What kind of programs do you kids enjoy, sonny?
Action stuff, like Gangbusters, Buck Rogers. You gotta give us kids something up to date or we won't listen.
Now, listen, cub. We have rehearsed Little Red Riding Hood.
Now, that's your hard luck, Alan. I'm going home.
Now, wait a minute, Buster. Just a second. I have got an idea. Who would think so at this hour? But suppose we present... suppose we present Little Red Riding Hood the way it would be done on some of those other programs.
How do you mean?
Sit down, bub. We'll show you how Little Red Riding Hood might sound served up in Gangbuster style.
Gangbusters presents Little Red Riding Hood. Or, when Granny woke up in the wolf's stomach, she knew it was an inside job.
The scene, the forest hideout of Granny the Gun Moll. Granny is the lovable old fence and front woman for a notorious kidnapping gang. As our scene opens, Granny is knitting a blindfold for the gang's next kidnap victim. There is a knock at the door. Granny speaks.
Come in.
Reach, Granny. Get him up. This is a stick-up.
Willie the Wolf.
Yeah, Willie the Wolf. I need dough, Granny. Come across.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hey, we ain't getting no place, Granny. Take this.
No.
Now to get that dough out of Granny's gaiters.
Stick him up, Willie the Wolf.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes, take this, Wolf.
No!
Gosh, I killed the wolf and there's no reward. Alas, crime doesn't pay.
Well, there you are, son. How was that?
Well, it's okay for the kids that like that cops and robber stuff.
You don't like it?
No, not me. This stuff is nothing but real life. Give me the supernatural. Personally, I go for Mandrake the Magician. Superman.
Oh, you mean the Blood and Thunder programs with those kiddies clubs, kiddie clubs, secret codes, and free badges, things
yeah.
Like that?
Them shows where a kid can get suspense and cornflakes.
In that order? You having the dessert? Oh, well, all right. We'll show you how one installment of Little Red Riding Hood would sound done on a juvenile serial show.
It's a sparrow, it's the Goodyear balloon, it's Superman!
Yes, boys and girls, it's time for another exciting adventure with Stupaman, the super, super perfect man of the future. Stupaman is brought to you each evening by the makers of
Granny Pops, the new all-brand lollipop for nearsighted kiddies.
Granny Pops contain composite calcium motivate, the new energy-giving ingredient for kiddies.
Granny Pops contain calcified extract of liver, the instant bodybuilding derivative.
And Granny Pops contain bran, mothers. If you want your kid to have roughage, sluffage, and stuffage,
buy him a Granny Pop today.
And now for Stupaman. As you recall, kiddies, last night Stupaman, with his X-ray eyes, looked through the walls of Granny's cottage and saw...
But before we see what Superman saw, kiddies, a word about our Stupaman Bandit Club. Now, here's how you join, kids. Simply tear off the top of Daddy's safety deposit box. Send us whatever you find inside. Take an oath to Stupaman, you won't talk, and you are now a member of the Bandit Club, absolutely free. And now for our Stupaman adventure.
But first, tonight's number in the Stupaman secret code. Tonight's message to all Stupaman Club members is 94, 78, 46, 25, ring 2. And now for our Stupaman adventure.
A word about our new guaranteed imitation tin Stupaman badges for Junior Stupaman. We're all out of them. And now for our Stupaman adventure.
You may remember, kiddies, Stupaman with his X-ray eyes has seen the wolf through the walls of Granny's cottage. We now find Stupaman opening the door of the cottage. Stupaman steps inside. Stupaman closes the door. This concludes tonight's adventure, kiddies. What will Stupaman do tomorrow? Tune in tomorrow and see if you can find out between commercials. Good night, kiddies. And don't forget Granny Pop.
And don't forget your Stupaman club.
And don't forget your Stupaman coat.
And don't forget your Stupaman band.
And don't forget...
Oh, let's knock off, fella.
Yeah, let's finish that game of gin rummy, huh?
Yeah, well, where were we?
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, I forgot. Good night, kiddies.
Well, Bob, how did you like that action version of Little Red Riding Hood?
Well, it was okay, but there wasn't no human interest in it.
You mean the children go for those human interest programs, too?
Sure, especially we the people. Let's go crazy for that sob stuff.
All right, now we'll show you how Little Red Riding Hood might sound if she was presented on We the People.
We the People speak! Tonight, We the People bring you a most unusual attraction. You are all familiar with the perennial fairy tale, Little Red Riding Hood. Tonight, at our microphone, we have the original wolf who swallowed her original grandmother. Say hello to the folks, original Little Red Riding Hood.
Hello?
And how old are you now, Little Red Riding Hood?
I'm 108 years old.
And is this the original wolf?
Yes, Mr. Peters.
You've kept the wolf with you ever since he swallowed your granny?
Yes, I like to feel that granny is near me.
And now, will the wolf say a few words?
If you kick him.
All right, I will. Thank you, wolf. Folks, that was the original wolf that swallowed Red Riding Hood's granny. Wasn't it, Red Riding Hood?
Yes, Mr. Heater.
And now, we, the people, has arranged to bring you greetings from the original granny who is still inside the wolf. Our CBS technician is now lowering a mic down into the wolf's stomach. The next voice you hear will be that of Little Red Riding Hood's granny, direct from the stomach of the wolf. Hello, Granny. Do you hear me, Granny?
Yes.
After spending 100 years in a wolf's stomach, Granny, have you a message for our radio audience?
Yes. Let me out. Let me out of here.
Well, there you are. There you are, son. You see, Red Riding Hood can make good in radio no matter how she's presented.
Yeah. She's okay in a lowbrow sort of way.
Lowbrow? I don't get it.
Well, how about some kids who went for high-class music?
All right. I'll show you how Little Red Riding Hood might sound even in grand opera.
We sing you the tale of Red Riding
Riding Hood.
to see her granny in the wood.
In the wood.
But the wolf had bolted granny for a snack.
For a snack.
And all the things that radio hawks couldn't bring granny back.
Alas, alas.
Bring granny back.
Alas, alas.
Bring granny back.
Alas, alas. Bring granny back. All the world could not bring granny back. She was gone for good. Red Riding Hood couldn't bring her back.
Son, how was that?
Oh, I'm sorry I started the whole thing.
Well, you're sorry. How about me?
Well, I guess there's only one real way to enjoy Red Riding Hood.
Well, that's what I started to do in the first place, and you interrupted me. Now keep quiet, and I'll tell the story. Once upon a time, kiddies. Now, Larry Elliott for the defense.
The preparedness of the petroleum industry is welcome news to every American today. Petroleum is a real defense industry.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to stop in at any time. Remember, you're welcome.
This is Columbia Broadcasting System.